This ball's drilled to center field. Well hit. Jacoby Jones going back. He'll look up. This ball's off the fence. It bounces away from him. We could have George circling the bases. He's headed to third. He's going to be waved home. The throw will not be made. Head first slide for an inside the park home run. League leading number 16 on the year is an inside the parker.
That was awesome.
Part of an 11-run performance by the Astros. 11-4, the win last night over Detroit. The seventh win in a row for the Houston Astros, who now have the best record in baseball. And guys, as John McClain joins us, I'm starting to reconsider one of my longest-held opinions on the Astros, which is I figured of the core guys, the first one to leave might be George Springer just because of his age, where he's, you know, older, much older than, let's say, Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa, not Altuve, but Altuve they had given multiple contracts to. And Springer is going to be up after next season. And I just felt like, are you going to re-sign a 30-year-old guy heading into an age 31 season to a big contract? The way that he is playing right now, and the reality that he feels like the heart and soul of the team, I would start to really think about what a contract extension could look like for Springer if I could front-load a deal and get him for the next 4 to 5 years.
Ooh, boy, but the time for getting a bargain by extending a guy early is, that's gone.
Oh, yeah, like,
this
I know.
Getting a bargain. This is the epitome. Okay, so you're not expecting the bargain. Mm-hmm. If you'd given him an extension last year, that would be the bargain. I do wonder, there is a part of analytics called psychometrics, which is trying to analyze all the kind of the non-traditional sports side of things, just like the personality and all of that. And I wonder, with all the things the Astros have said about Springer's effect on the rest of the team, the fact that they keep him around when he's injured to travel with the team, and now obviously with his play on the field, I always suspected that the Astros would retain George Springer and maybe find his value as being more than other teams in the league might. Now it changes a little bit because of the way he's playing on the field, but I'm not so convinced that I think the Astros have the capacity to surprise us with what they might be willing to offer George Springer. And it's not even an emotional thing. It's not like they'd be going outside of their heavily analytic way. I think they've probably got data to back up just how important he is, even when he's not hitting as well as he is right now.
John, how do you feel about a new deal for Springer given his age?
I'd love to see him do it going into last season when Kyle Tucker was the be-all, end-all, not just in their system, but according to all the MLB experts rating him around the league. I'm sure they thought by now he would be in the bigs, and he might be the young guy that would take Springer's place. But Springer's their best hitter in the playoffs, the World Series. He's one of their team leaders, inspiration. He's been incredible. I saw this stat. I think Richard Justice put it out. About their record since Hinch moved him to the leadoff spot, it was phenomenal.
I think it's like 299 after last night. It's like 299 and 170 or 180 something.
Just that alone is a tremendous stat. I think they'll try to keep him. I think at that age, you won't see a lot of teams offering that kind of money to a guy that's going to be 31 years old in the first year of his new deal. But Crane has done these other deals. I think he'll do that one. They're trying to re-sign Garrett Cole. If I'm Cole and 27 years old, I'm testing the market.
Oh, yeah.
Telling what I'm going to get. Oh, but I would, if I'm Springer, and I just think based on what we've seen on Crane, they will sign Springer to an extension.
It's a scary place out there for pitchers right now.
I wouldn't be scared.
It's scarier for pitchers than position players, correct?
I agree with that. I wouldn't be scared if I was Garrett Cole because I'm a pitcher who has a ton of talent, and I've been really durable, knock on wood. Like, even in this past market, Patrick Corbin got $140 million from the Nationals. Garrett Cole should be able to get that money at least starting in November. Next headline, the Blazers know exactly how we feel in Houston. They were destroyed. It was kind of a back-and-forth game, but they fell to the Warriors 116-94. Game one of the Western Conference Finals, Steph Curry was the game's leading scorer with 36 points. The Blazers tried a very interesting strategy. They dropped back on their pick-and-roll coverage of Steph Curry, which led to this after the game.
You know, Houston had some success, you know, trapping Steph and really getting out on him. Is this sustainable for you guys to keep dropping the big so far?
I can't remember. When he had 33 in the second half, were they trapping then?
Yes.
They were? And he scored 33 in the second half?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look at that.
So, Portland head coach Terry Stotts not happy with the media questioning his strategy.
So there you go, Terry Stotts. Just because Steph had one good half of basketball in that entire series, you should just stop defending Steph Curry.
Yes.
Basically, he gave the old hey, if it's going to happen anyway, you might as well try to enjoy it theory, which is not usually well received.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Would you guys feel any better from a Rockets standpoint if the Warriors swept this series? Would you feel at all better? John?
No, absolutely not. Nothing's going to make the Rockets feel better. And the Blazers just got blown out. Rockets were never blown out.
The only way that we could feel better is if someone invented a time machine and we could go forward in time a year to an ultimate Rockets versus Warriors playoff matchup again to see if it goes any differently.
I don't like time
travel. What about
travel?
Going back in time?
Yeah, no, don't do that. No, stop it.
Going we're going to kill someone?
And redoing that last game and actually cover... Guard yeah, then, Curry is, in the second
that,
half.
But that essentially changes who you are as a human being right now. Ooh,
it would change me dramatically.
Everything.
Yeah. I'd be a better human. I'd
yourself.
Have a tattoo.
That's why as soon as all those people died in Avengers, I was like, ah, great. We got time travel coming in the sequel. Great. This is just awesome. And then yep. Yeah.
Seth hates time travel.
Oh, I hate time travel. I hate time travel especially because you got all these people afterwards that are trying to explain to you like, oh, no, it actually makes sense and this is why. No, it never makes sense. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
Plus, you could bet on the games and make a fortune.
Ooh, also true. I like that. Seth, you're just not a dreamer. Just not a dreamer. Just not ingenuitive. It's that Cornell just keeping you down.
Yeah.
Next headline, Pelicans won the NBA draft lottery. Shocked a lot of people last night. They go from number 7 to secure the number 1 overall pick. This obviously gives them the right to take Duke superstar Zion Williamson. If you were Zion Williamson and you were thinking about playing in New York City or Atlanta or then possibly Los Angeles when they vaulted up last night, how would you feel about playing professional basketball? Not football, not being a cook, but playing professional basketball in New Orleans.
Be awesome. You kidding me? Bourbon Street? Let's go every single night. Well, I am having the time of my life.
He didn't react that way last night. Yeah, he did not seem happy. He took off quickly. Door.
Well, how could he be so, why did he, again, we need better math education in this country. Why did all these people thought that like, all these Knicks fans, the smartest people in the world, New York City, right? Acted like 14% was like a guarantee that you're going to get that number one overall pick. It was so strange to me. I think you should be happy to go play with Anthony Davis, who might actually want to stick around now. You got a David Griffin, your new GM. You got a new coach. It's a whole new world in New Orleans. Mike, this is where your lack of actually enjoying socializing with people hurts you. You don't even recognize or understand, do you, how fun a city New Orleans is?
Incorrect.
I don't think you do.
Seth, hang on. Hold on. I said at 6:18 this morning, I love the city of New Orleans. It's a great city. It is one of my favorite cities in the country. It's a great city.
Not enough.
But not for basketball.
Yes, exactly. If you're telling me, if anyone, if you driving right now, you at your computer right now at work, wherever you are, if you are telling me New Orleans is a good NBA city.
It is now.
Then that means every city in the league is a good NBA city. Because it is not. New Orleans is not a good NBA city. And John McClain is on it this morning.
Oh, wow. You guys are on it this morning. Do you know who was really on it? Paul. Because Paul is saying that if the Lakers or the Knicks got Zion Williamson, it would be an absolute farce, because those two organizations stink. They are poorly run.
What about
and
the
they
Pelicans?
Don't deserve it. The Pelicans said no to the Lakers. They are better run than the Lakers.
I guess, but the Knicks haven't even
not
had a player.
A high hurdle here.
But the Knicks haven't even had a player they could say no to trading like Anthony Davis, because they didn't win the lottery like the Pelicans did. You know, 7 years ago when they got Davis.
They had Carmelo Anthony for like 2 decades.
The Athletic reported that Davis still wants to be traded, so should trade him to the Knicks for the 3rd overall pick and reunite Barrett and Williamson. And the only good thing I see about him being in New Orleans, he's a Southern kid, maybe South's big to him, and maybe he'll come over there and do it. There have been other great players go to small cities and flourish, but based on the way the Anthony Davis thing was handled, and I know they've cleaned house, it just looks irreparable, but this is a great opportunity to trade him to the Knicks and let the Knicks make him the star and give him the 3rd pick.
John McClain with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions. So we're coming off rookie minicamp for the Houston Texans. John was out there, and he has a lot of coverage on the Chronicles website. John, what was your biggest takeaway from rookie minicamp?
You can't tell squad about linemen and special teams players. All I wanted to do was see the tight ends and receivers because they didn't have a quarterback that has a chance to make the team. That wasn't important. Although I thought the kid from TSU, Kristoff, it was interesting watching him throw passes and then run routes. He just couldn't throw it to himself. But watching Kahale Waring and Johnny Dixon, the top free agent receiver, those were the ones that were the most interesting. And Paul and Seth were there. They saw him too. And Kahale Waring looks a lot bigger to me. Not a lot bigger. He's 6'5 and a half. And at the combine, he was 252. And now he looks to me more like he's 262 than 252. And he's rock solid.
Yeah, he's put together really well. He kind of reminded me in some ways of James Casey, but just a more... Like a more athletic
bigger.
James Casey. Yeah, is he big? Yeah, I guess James Casey wasn't that big.
Now, James came in about 236, I think it was.
Yeah.
And like most guys, he had lost weight to run faster. As O'Brien was talking about, all these guys getting ready for the combine and their pro days, it's all about speed. And Waring, he just looked like a guy running. He looked like Travis Kelce. His build, about the same size and some – eager to see when we're not going to see anything good from any of those guys till they start going up against the Packers and Lions in the joint practices.
Travis Kelce has kind of a deceptively soft physique, though. If you look at him, he's got the kind of soft, the doughy, like Matt Schaub type arms. But obviously a very good football player. I'd say that not in obvious, like physique, you don't have to look like Gronk to be a good tight end, but it helps. And I would say Waring looks more like Gronk than he does Travis Kelce.
I thought Johnny Dixon, who I still can't figure out why he wasn't drafted based on what he did at Ohio State, watching him just catch the ball with his hands, snatch it. Of course, he's fast. We knew he was fast. And I think he's got a real good chance to make the team. He's competing with Vincent Smith and Jester Weah, who was on the practice squad last year. So watching those guys was really the only thing I thought was even remotely interesting.
I think with Dixon, it was more about the injury history and the fact that he had come on late at Ohio State, and maybe people feel in the NFL like he's more of a dime a dozen kind of guy. But I mean, I was reading something about how his knees might be arthritic. I don't know if that was.
Oh
like,
no!
I don't know if that was. I read that.
You didn't know if it was a reporter, somebody like using the word arthritic liberally.
I admit I did not read that in the Chronicle. I read that in a different place, and I don't.
You're on the website. You're on the University of Michigan message boards.
No.
What's your name on the University of Michigan message boards?
I'm not going to go into
Fair 69.
I'm not going to go into that.
Blue balling.
No. I'm not going to go into that.
What's
right now.
What do they call the yellow?
Maze.
Maze? Okay.
Yes.
Johnny Dixon had 17 touchdowns his last 2 years and five starts. He averaged 31 yards a touchdown catch as a junior and his 60 catches for a little over 1,000 yards in his 2 seasons, including 5 starts as a senior. He averaged 18.2 yards. And he and Campbell were two big reasons that Dwayne Haskins had such a prolific season as throwing touchdown passes. But I'd never heard that about arthritic knees. That would certainly make sense that people don't want to draft somebody who's got them. But he's better off because he got more money being undrafted than he would have in the 7th round, probably the 6th.
That's a good point.
So he's going to be somebody to keep a close eye on when they come back.
The fact that they actually gave him a respectable signing bonus.
Let's look at these receivers for a second and try to figure out a few months early what's going to end up happening. So usually you're going to keep 5 receivers, most likely.
You've got two slot guys, QT and DeAndre Carter, and then two outside guys, that's 4, so you got 1 more.
So DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Kiki, and then DeAndre Carter. Do you feel like DeAndre Carter is a guy who is – he's not locked to make the team, but you feel, based on what you just said, that it sounds like he's probably going
to
make the team.
He had to play a lot last year when QT was hurt, and he was a return guy, and that job's always available if somebody can come in and take it. But you like to have somebody can do both, which he did. And then he got Vincent Smith, who's coming back. Jester Weah, who had a better training camp in preseason than Smith and was on the practice squad. And then Dixon and I, maybe Dixon will end up on a practice squad, but those are the next 3, and I got a lot of other guys out there, but to me, that other one, and I also think they'll end up churning the bottom of the roster, so we're going to see more receivers coming in all the way up to the last cuts.
I want to go back to Waring real quick, because it's been a consensus, at least in this room. I admit I wasn't there on Friday, but between Seth and Paul and John McClain, that Kahale Waring is a guy that really stood out. Realistically, given who he is, the fact that he's a rookie and he's got 2 other guys at the position, What's a realistic expectation for him on this team as a rookie?
To be able to be part of the rotation at tight end. They're real high on the two Jordans, Thomas and Akins, going into their second year. Thomas improved as a blocker. And then Akins makes an effort at blocking. And, you know, Thomas had four touchdown catches, and Akins averaged 13.2 yards a catch as rookies. And then Waring, the fact that he hadn't played a lot of football compared to some 1 year of high school, he's a really good athlete. He played a lot of sports where he had to move around, move his feet, use his hands. And so I'm guessing right off the bat he's not going to step in, but eventually, of course, and I don't know when that is, they'd love for him to be the starter and give them a big weapon down the middle of the field, but I think I don't see that right off because he's so raw.
You know, I feel like he's less raw than I thought he was going to be, and not having played in high school, I think sometimes we overestimate how much you can actually gain from playing high school football. Because a lot of guys, unless you're playing at some of the schools in Texas or California or Florida, you don't really know much about football until you get to college. So I feel like he's picked up enough, and watching him run some of his routes, I thought he had a pretty good feel for bending his routes and adjusting to coverages. It's against rookies in minicamp with no pads. I get all that. I'm way more optimistic about him playing earlier than I had been before. And part of it is just that no matter how raw he is, he's a better athlete than Akins and Thomas. And I think O'Brien's going to figure out a way to get him on the field. He might not be starting, but his 10 to 15 snaps might be more meaningful than Jordan Thomas's like 30 snaps.
He'd make a great, with his speed and his athleticism, he played basketball, he played soccer, goalie and water polo. He played everything but
he was
football
a goalie
in
water
up.
Polo?
Yeah.
I'm less impressed.
And so I think that he'd make a great target in the red zone. And it looks like he can run well. He ran a 4.67 at the combine. Don't know what he ran at San Diego State's pro day, but he sure looks the part.
Real quick question from a listener: do you think Lestar Jean will make the roster?
Excellent question. I like that question.